Hello and welcome to Talking HE. My name is Santanu Vasant. In this episode, we speak to Dr. Anna Marie Mackay, Associate Dean, Student Experience at the London College of Fashion, part of the University of the Arts London. We discuss why teacher reflexivity is important, what Anna Marie learnt from talking to creative arts educators as part of her doctorate, how others in higher education can benefit from her research, and where people can find out more information about this topic. We hope you enjoy this episode.
My name's Anna Marie Mackay. I'm the Associate Dean of the Student Experience at London College of Fashion, which is part of University of the Arts London.
Why is teacher reflexivity important?
Right. Well, I think there's a number of responses to that. I mean, I always remember reading a blog post. I think it was from Phil Race some years ago, and he was kind of saying, well, what would happen if we didn't reflect as teachers and tutors in higher education? And I think sometimes flipping things and thinking, well, what would happen if we didn't, or what if, is quite a good way of starting with this. But my response to this is that it fosters continuous improvement, helping educators refine their pedagogy. And I think when we're all as educators facing different challenges in the kind of higher education institutions we work in, reflectivity becomes ever more important. I mean, certainly in our institution, we're facing sort of challenges with awarding gaps very specifically. And whenever you read, you know, we all look at this data and tutors are looking at this data and struggling to work out how to improve things. But nobody ever sort of talks about how important reflectivity is to this, that unless you, as an educator, are able to explore or to see your underlying biases, subjectivities, blind spots in teaching, which only comes about through reflection, then you're never really going to be able to sort of address the challenges in front of you, because you're just, you know, you're just not giving that, you're not doing that properly, I think. You know, we'll come to that in a moment, actually, about proper reflection, authentic reflection, because I think a lot of what I'm interested in would probably sit under what I would call meaningful reflection or authentic reflection. Hopefully that will become clearer in a moment. But in terms of other, you know, reasons why we might, why teacher reflectivity is important, I think it has a link to the student experience. And, you know, if we as educators are able to reflect on our teaching, that ultimately enhances the student experiences and enhances specifically student learning. Because teachers can identify what works best for their students, leading to ultimately improved learning outcomes. So I think that's, you know, that's perhaps the most important aspect. But, you know, connected to reflection, there is also the link with professional development, you know, and we all have, you know, we see CPD and continuing professional development is very important across the sector. But I don't think people always sort of spend that time sort of really evaluating their practices and what they really need to address and moving that on. There could be many, many reasons for that. And I think one of the most cited reasons that a lot of staff in my institution give is the lack of time to reflect. And I think sometimes there is a bit of an association there that that reflection is just about a teaching observation. And there's maybe not a wider understanding of reflection more holistically, you know, that it's not just formal moments, it's also informal. And those are the kind of conversations with maybe significant others in your teaching team, you're still being reflective. You know, it could be team meetings, it could be a reapproval meeting or preparation, curriculum enhancement conversation, you know, so we're reflecting all the time as educators. But I'm not always sure that staff, I think there is an association with formal mechanisms for reflection, and that's why the response is, I haven't got the time to reflect. So I think what I'm all about, and my research specifically, is about exploring more situational or situated forms of reflection that are more what you might call practice-based and meaningful to those sort of recipients, those educators that fits with their, in this case, sort of studio pedagogies and that sort of thing.
So you mentioned your research. What did you learn from talking to creative arts educators?
Well, I suppose I'd group my insights that I gathered. My methodology was social constructivist, very deliberately. I came at it from a sort of positionality of being somebody that's not an art and design. I don't have a background in, what should I say? I don't have a degree qualification in art and design. My background is very much as a professional librarian and historian stroke sociologist. So that's where I'm coming from. And I wanted to learn about how creative arts lecturers that I was working with, how they actually talked about reflection, because I felt that at the time I was helping on the PG Cert. I was an academic developer basically, but I was helping on the PG Cert, teaching reflective pedagogy on the PG Cert, and I was also running the CPD scheme for fellowship. And what I noticed was a particular disengagement, you could say, around reflection and what that meant, and how one should write it, think about it, and all the rest of it. And it became very frustrating for me in my role at the time. And I thought, right, well, I really have to sort of just take this. I need to do some research around it, really, and find out what's going on in their worlds, because I don't understand these individuals. I don't understand their resistance to, you know, my introduction to Schoen or whoever it was I was trying to espouse at the time. And I couldn't quite work it out. So my research really was delving in to their sort of world, really, and how they talked about their students and their teaching and all the rest of it. So I would say that what I learned is that would come under four areas. So I would term those, the first one was about dual identity as I saw it, and the importance of recognizing the backgrounds and identities and how important that is in art and design tutors that you encounter, that they often see pedagogy and teaching languages as somewhat alien. It's not a natural sort of, you know, area that they are familiar with. So it means that as educators, as academic developers, we have to work a bit harder to engage those members of staff. Now, when I say art and design, it could apply. There are other subject areas that would fit under this kind of dual identity. I mean, the nursing profession is one that you could think of immediately. So we're not alone. But anyway, going back to my research, so dual identity is very important. And I think with those staff in particular, there is a lack of confidence around pedagogy. So we do need to sort of give them opportunities to play around with ideas in teaching and improving their sort of teaching methodologies and things like that. And that means giving them perhaps safe spaces and, you know, opportunities to sort of deconstruct what we consider to be, you know, what we as academic developers would throw out and consider normal. We need to spend a bit of time. I mean, even the word pedagogy is utterly loaded, and it certainly was to the practitioners I was interviewing. I don't think I think there were one or two who specifically mentioned it, but there is a sort of there was a sort of nervousness around some of these words. So that was my first thing. The other area was what I call disciplinary lenses, and this is really the importance of the disciplines themselves, because creative arts is quite a broad spectrum of disciplines in art, design, communication. It's a quite a wide range of disciplines, but I think that what I learned there was to be a bit more accepting of multiplicity of sort of different ways of looking at the world, basically. So where I might have been introducing particular theories or frameworks, cycles, whatever, in reflection, I felt that there were stories that these individuals could also tell about particular reflective ideas, but perhaps more through the lens of their discipline. So a great example of this was where I was talking about Schoen, and a lecturer responded and said, "Oh, that's really similar to some ideas in my drama discipline, which were about autopoietic feedback loops or something like that," which I had to look up. Yeah. But I learned a lot from that, and I thought, well, that's interesting. And I think one of the most fascinating things through the disciplinary lens is that I had thought, as an academic developer, that all of these individuals loved having sort of what I call a sort of blank page, where they're just left to, well, you know how to draw a picture, you know, you all know how to reflect. Off you go. Yeah, I don't need to give you much in the way. And what I realized from talking to individuals was actually quite, they need some sort of precepts, some sort of structure. And then once they've got the kind of, you know, as one put it, once I've got the charcoal and I know what medium I'm working in and I can only use this paper, then they're free to experiment and even move beyond the parameters of what you give. And that made me think about things like peer observations and various things like that, where we just assumed these people would go away and find something to reflect on. And so that was just so interesting, really. So that was the disciplinary aspect. There was loads on that. But the other two things were one was social and interactive. And this specifically relates to art and design educators who are very studio based. And a number of them were saying, you know, I went to this really good PG Cert session, but it was all about lectures. I don't do lectures. I tend to walk the room, or I tend to, you know, I'm in the studio all the time and I don't. So what they were talking about is what I remember somebody I read, it was either Susan Orr or somebody like that, who was talking about studio pedagogy as being a kind of exchange between staff and students and student to student. Yes. And that kind of dialogue is just so important. So, you know, the skills in being able to read the room as a lecturer, to sort of, you know, have a lot of emotional intelligence, you know, be able to be quite skilled in emotional intelligence and that sort of thing, but also the skills in being able to sort of engage students in conversation that's not just tutors telling them what to do. It's also encouraging students to sort of, it's more of a mutual sort of dialogue. And I thought that was really interesting, because again, you know, going back to sort of PG certs and fellowships and things like that, you know, there is perhaps a focus on particular styles of pedagogy, and I wonder if we build in enough opportunities for staff to actually learn those kind of softer skills, what somebody referred to as sort of mode two skills of negotiation, communication, those kind of skills. And maybe there needs to be a bit more emphasis on those, because that's what they're going back to. Those are the sort of things that they need help with, really, in their teaching. Yes. And then the last area was about, I suppose this is about authenticity, and this is about legitimacy in work practices, and practitioners being turned off by pedagogy that doesn't relate to their kind of lived realities as a drama tutor or as a fashion illustrator. I think sometimes what we see in academic development is maybe tutors sort of not playing the game. I can't think of the right word, but they acquiesce in kind of safe learning kind of experiences because they don't think that people want to really hear the real, what they really think about things. And that made me also think about my role as an academic developer and how I might bring that out and encourage a more energized form of reflection, you know, that reflects the kind of spirit and vitality of conversations in their studio practices and things like that. So, you know, what I would often hear in the conversations with the lecturers that I had was about having to retrofit their worlds into a particular framework of teaching that they thought we wanted to see. And also sort of one or two have used this term, which is sort of a little bit insulting to academic developers, but it's this term edu-speak, where they seem to almost think we speak a different language. And I just found that so interesting, you know, about how they perceive that. So yeah, it kind of highlights some interesting areas that academic developers could explore. And those four insights, I guess, which were, you know, it's quite a whole chapter on those, led to me thinking about, well, what could you do practically with these insights? And so this is kind of further work on my part, which I might be exploring through a sabbatical at UAL, but is the idea of maybe mocking these up into a series of reflective prompts. I was introduced a few years ago to some work that was actually Brian Eno's Oblique Strategies, which are just basically a series of cards, and they just have a statement on them and you kind of respond to them. And it was a way of sort of breaking, you know, helping with creativity, really. And so I'd like to sort of draw some of these insights into some meaningful reflective prompts. And these would be perhaps useful for academic developers who are finding it hard to get the staff they're working with to reflect, basically, to sort of, like, you know, do it in authentic ways that mean something to them. So so that's where I've got to, and that's what I learned from talking to creative arts lecturers.
And how can others in higher education benefit from your research?
Ultimately, my research contributes to a deeper understanding of how educators in the creative arts engage in reflective practice, which could be very useful for similar institutions to UAL, but could also be useful for multi-faculty, so big universities that have an art and design faculty, where staff in those faculties may be slightly disengaged from the importance of, you know, they may not want to sign up for fellowship routes or PG certs, and they may be slightly disengaged from that. So my research could be helpful for kind of connecting in with that kind of creative reflective practitioner, really, because, you know, ultimately my research reveals that creative arts educators, creative arts lecturers are inherently reflective, actually, and reflection is such an important part for the curriculum and the student experience. But what we're not very good at is sort of teaching reflection to these tutors, and maybe putting an emphasis on reflective pedagogy to enhance their practices of reflection. And that ultimately impacts on the student experience. So increasingly you find that students don't know how to reflect either, because the staff are not modelling reflectivity. So the two things are very entwined, I think. So I think it would have, you know, impact on student reflection as well, my research. I also think that it offers insights that can inform professional development and enhance teaching methodologies in different disciplines, really. So I think it's what I was kind of just saying there, but I feel like my research could actually be quite useful for people who are evolving particular policies around teaching and learning development in their institutions, and sort of considering the needs of those, the sort of more industry focused practitioners specifically, and how you might find ways to engage with that community.
Where can people find out more about this topic?
Well, I wrote a thesis, which is available on the University of Roehampton e-repository, and also on the EthosNet British Library. So that thesis is called an exploration of how creative arts lecturers talk about reflecting on their teaching. So yeah, that is available. But I would sort of position my work around what I would term sort of authentic practice-based academic development. And there's been a lot of people that have written, widely, not necessarily in art and design, but I would really encourage colleagues to check out work by Roxer and Martinson, for example, who I reference quite a lot in my thesis and was very empowered by, I would say, my role as an academic developer. And they're very, I think a lot of their work fits around practice-based, but it's really looking at the kind of collegiality aspects and the more situated aspects of not specifically reflection, but really taking that on board. One of the things about Roxer and Martinson they talk about is the sort of front and backstage of teaching, which I found really intriguing. So my research is really pointing at the backstage of teaching. The front stage, of course, is the kind of things that staff have to do, the kind of formal mechanisms within an institution, the performance appraisals, the teaching observations, that sort of thing. They're perceived as the front stage. And one feels the backstage, and certainly from Roxer and Martinson's work, is where the real conversation's going on and the real learning happens. So I was kind of really, that really helped to shape the original research idea and everything. So I'd really encourage colleagues to check that out. I would also encourage colleagues to check out work by somebody called Daphne Lodes. I think she's still at Edinburgh, but I'm not sure. But her work was really influential to me because it would fit under this practice-based, more authentic style of academic development. But she's done a lot of work around identity of teachers and exploring who am I as a teacher. You know, even the word teacher is kind of interesting, isn't it? Because I don't know that we say it's almost compulsory sector, isn't it, to describe yourself as a teacher. I think we often describe ourselves in higher education as a tutor. So even that's, you know, language is all important. But Daphne Lodes, definitely. And then lastly, I'd say that I was also informed a lot by significant work around art and design pedagogy, and I suppose the definitive work on that is by Susan Orr and Alison Shreve, which is the art and design pedagogy in higher education, and that's a great source of information to learn huge amounts about how art and design lecturers teach, really, and why they teach in the ways they do, and also highlights, I think, some aspects which do need addressing in art and design pedagogy. We haven't got it perfect. We do need to explore some of our own biases and subjectivities and etc. So hopefully that's hope that's helpful.
Thank you to Dr. Anna Marie Mackay for her time. If you've got a comment or query or would like to appear on a future episode of Talking HE, then please email santanu@santanuvasant.com. Thanks for listening. I've been Santanu Vasant, and this has been Talking HE.